Look at this, AC baby. I buy you an $8,000 watch. You wear it on the wrong wrist. I'm good to you. Nice guy, a little short. I want you to know. Macho Man!
Macho Man Randy Savage is here right now on Piper's Pit. And what a historic event, baby. Look at me, living color, yeah. With a big, big mess, but you're gonna love this. Hulkamania is dead. Starting now, Macho Man is... Oh, yeah, all around the world, yeah. All around the world.
Hello. Kelly Nelson here for number two of The Greatness of Randy Savage. And we're going to pick up where we left off last time. So if you have this DVD, right now we're on the home, the main menu. So go to chapters. And then go down to next. And go to September 9th, 1985. Macho Man Randy Savage and Jesse the Body Ventura versus Mario Mancini and Mike Rice. Let's see if Mario Mancini's learned a few things from last time and knows how to take the elbow off the top rope. Okay, so we'll do a countdown. 3, 2, 1, and on go, we'll go and start. 3, 2, 1, go. Looks like we're in Poughkeepsie yet again. And yeah, this is interesting because Jesse Ventura, who most remember as a color commentator for WWF, came in 1984, wrestled for a bit, but then had to stop because of a lung issue just as he was starting a program with Hulk Hogan. And in 1985, so around this time, he started wrestling a bit again. Not like full-time or anything, but a few TV matches like this, and then also some house shows. Didn't really do any programs other than being in sort of a feud with the Hillbillies later in the year, and there'd be a match on Saturday Night's Main Event with Ventura and Piper and Cowboy Bob Orton against the Hillbillies in early 1986. And we see for the first time the lovely Miss Elizabeth. She had debuted, I'm assuming, just a week or two before this. The early Miss Elizabeth in the WWF is interesting, as she's a little more heelish than she would be, because of course most people think of Miss Elizabeth as, you know, sweet and quiet and basically a baby face, while Savage was the heel, which made it such an interesting dynamic. But at first, they were actually, the WWF was pretty inspired, I think, by the Jimmy Garvin and Sunshine, or Jimmy Garvin and Precious dynamic, and that's what they sort of thought they were going to have with Savage and Elizabeth. So in the early days, Elizabeth, like I said, is just a little bit more heelish. Her facial expressions are a bit more heelish. There's one show right around this time that Peter Winston on Greetings from Allentown covered, where she cuts a promo in the ring on Hulk Hogan in kind of a heelish manner. But as you can see here, Savage is already browbeating her and treating her like garbage. The Ventura and Savage partnership is natural, because Ventura would always praise Macho Man on commentary. Basically, is one of his favorite wrestlers, if not his favorite wrestler at the time. So we're seeing Savage with a gold robe, beautiful gold robe. Still not quite the Savage robe that we think of, or the robes that we think of when we think of Savage from this period. Still kind of a holdover from the territory years, like I talked about on the previous episode. So look at all this stalling. Yeah, Ventura getting in on it too, treating Elizabeth like crap. But yeah, this could have been an interesting partnership if it had lasted, because it's a very natural team, I think, these two guys. A lot of similarities in their build and sort of their overall look. Both were kind of leftovers of like the hippie look of the 70s that you saw everywhere in wrestling for a long time. Quick tags here. Great teamwork right from the get-go. Ventura always kind of limited in the ring. Punch, kick guy. strutting. Very much a superstar Billy Graham clone. They're really getting over the whole Savage as, you know, being this unreasonably angry person, taking it out on poor Miss Elizabeth. Oh, this jobber team. So it was Mario Mancini in the ring, and now they've dragged in, I've already forgotten the name of this other jobber, which is shame on me since I'm known in some parts as a jobber lover, jobber expert. But, yeah, this guy's pretty faceless. Oh, look at this. Ventura with a leg drop. Funny how back in 85, even into 86, things weren't as standardized as they'd become in later years in the WWF, where everybody had their own repertoire and nobody would use the same moves. Big elbow. This is it, folks. 1, 2, 3. Cocky cover. Quick and easy victory for the team of Randy Savage and Jesse the Body Ventura. Be interesting to see how many times they tagged up. I know one match I've seen in the past, back when I was doing Tag Teams Back Again, a podcast with the legendary Marty Sleaze. It was from the Philadelphia Spectrum in late 85. It was Savage and Ventura against Tito Santana and Tony Atlas. So there's some matches of theirs out there, that's for sure. Savage, or Ventura, with some heavy trash talk. He's got something to prove after having his career cut short in 1984. Coming back, but like I said earlier, this wouldn't last too long, this comeback for Ventura, before he became a full-time color commentator. He was actually just sort of getting started in color commentary at this time. Who are they calling out exactly? Oh, Bruno. Wow. Bruno looking pissed. Yeah. Jesse and Bruno, that was a match that, you know, if Jesse had been able to continue wrestling, probably would have happened at some point, considering their sort of the antagonism between the two of them on commentary when they're in the booth. And of course, Savage and Bruno is something that does happen in 1986, starting in 86, in tags at Madison Square Garden with Savage and Adonis versus Bruno and Tito Santana, and then they have a singles feud at Boston Garden for sure, and probably some other cities as well. It was actually a pretty cool little feud. So next we have Boston Garden, speak of the devil, November 9th, 1985, against also someone I mentioned just a few minutes ago, Tony Atlas. So this is our first non-championship wrestling, first non-Poughkeepsie jobber squash match for this Macho Man. His Christmas tinsel robe this time. Not the best. That one looks a little on the cheap side there, Randy. Gorilla Monsoon on commentary. Let's see who his partner is. Oh, it's Lord Al. This pairing would be, they would log a lot of time, especially at Madison Square Garden. Not the greatest of commentary teams, that's for sure. I watched a lot of those shows a few years ago when I was a frequent contributor to the Place to Be podcast and looking at the Madison Square Garden shows from 1985, 86, 87. That was pretty much Gorilla and Lord Al almost every time out back in those days. I see lots of stalling. Tony Atlas, an interesting character as far as he would keep coming and going from the WWF for many years. He started there with a bang in right around 1980, basically, or maybe even 79, I think. Pushed very heavy, as far as, like, he never lost. He was involved in feuds with, like, Ken Patera, Hulk Hogan. He even defeated Hulk Hogan, pinned him, although Hogan had his foot on the bottom ropes in Hogan's, one of his last matches in the territory before he left for the AWA, the fabulous Hulk Hogan run where he was a heel. So Atlas had a big push. Of course, he was in a tag team with Rocky Johnson, the Soul Patrol. That won the tag team belts from the Wild Samoans in late 1983. Famously, or whatever, Rocky and Tony didn't get along in real life, but they were a team for quite a long time, probably like a year straight. But apparently during that time, they didn't really like each other. Atlas, of course, had drug issues that derailed his career at various different times. That was one of the reasons why he kept sort of coming and going. By this point, he didn't really have much of a push left. He would be protected. He wouldn't lose very often, but he'd never be involved in any programs really with anybody. Never, you know, pushed to be a contender to like the IC title or put in another tag team and do anything like that. Crowd's still behind Tony, Mr. USA. This will be an interesting match because this is, like I've said, 1985 when things weren't so standardized. So we're going to see, you know, a different sort of match from Randy Savage, I think. Probably a longer match. Who knows? I mean, I'm hoping this doesn't go too long, to be honest with you. I kind of like the breezy, quick squash matches. It's easier to do this by yourself when you're just going bang, 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 match after match. Here, I'm afraid I'm going to get like some sort of 10, 15 minute match with lots of stalling and down points, but maybe not. Savage, of course, a consummate professional, great at getting the match over. He's not a guy, especially at this time, that you would think, oh yeah, he had a lot of boring matches, even against somebody like Tony Atlas, who was rather limited. This should be interesting. Boston Garden always had tons of cops mulling about on the outside. I'm sure there was some pretty rough fans in attendance back in those days. Probably a lot of fights in the stands. Garbage being thrown in the ring. Similar to Philadelphia and New York, of course, Northeast. Rough and tumble crowds. One unique feature of Boston Garden was this staircase that they would have at ringside with a railing on it. You'd never see that anywhere else. No other arena, for whatever reason, had that. That's the Boston Garden special ringside staircase with the railing. Big atomic drop by the Macho Man. Big dude at ringside, looks like a bouncer or something, in that tight shirt with the stripe across it and glasses. I wonder what his deal was. This is so much like the Titans of Wrestling podcast I used to be part of, where half the fun of watching these old matches was, you know, commenting on the fans ringside or the people hanging about. It was a different time. It was still, you know, the territory years, and Vince Jr. hadn't made everything so polished and similar looking. So each place, each arena still had their own identity. And I loved that. I love that you can just look at something like this, see a match, and say, I immediately know it's Boston Garden just by the signifiers, certain things like the staircase with the railing, like I said, are just the look of it. You can see the banners, of course, Boston Bruins and Boston Celtics hanging from the rafters. MSG, of course, had the dark look to it. The lighthouse lights down. That was easy to spot and know immediately it was an MSG. The Spectrum had its own look too. Different camera angles and more close-ups and stuff at the Spectrum, I always found. Maple Leaf Gardens in Toronto, of course, had the ramp. So, yeah, that's something I definitely miss. I think we're going to get the finish here, as clunky as it is. Yep. So, we were spared an epic match between Randy Savage and Tony Atlas. That was probably like 5 minutes, if that. Clunky roll-up there. But that's how you protect Tony. I mean, he didn't lose to Savage via the elbow. It was kind of a fluke. I think it was meant to suggest Savage kind of used the tights there or cheated a bit, even though it didn't really look like it. Anyway, that's definitely one for the woodpile. That's not a classic Randy Savage match. But this is the unreleased DVD set, so we're going to see things that are, you know, pretty rare. Not so much so far, or at all, are any of them like totally unreleased. Like, let's see the replay here. Yeah, it looked like he was kind of reaching for the tights, and then awkward. I guess, it's hard to say. I think he didn't really pull tights. That was just an ugly-looking finish. It wasn't exactly, definitely wasn't what they wanted it to look like. Best that Savage just got up and left quickly, and the fans forget about that match. But like I was saying, like there was a set that was released, and here we go. December 1st, 1985, against S.D. Jones. And this looks like from somewhere else, not Poughkeepsie. This may be from Canada even, Brantford, Ontario maybe. That's where they taped a lot of... Yeah, I would say there's Export A. You can see on the big scoreboard up top, Export A is... Canadian brand of cigarettes, so this is definitely Canada. But again, I'll try and finish this point I was trying to make, that a few years back, WWE released a DVD, an unreleased DVD, just of all kinds of matches. And most of them on there were actually unreleased. They were matches from house show or TV tapings that were taped but were never shown on TV, so we had a lot of that. So far, we're pretty much all the matches... This set are definitely rare, definitely matches not a lot of people have seen, but they were matches that were televised at the time, and the Boston Garden shows were shown in New England, of course, on a sports channel, so they're not unreleased, just rare so far. This one, I'm not sure. This is Jesse and Gorilla on commentary. Not sure exactly which program this would have been. Maybe All-Star Wrestling? This is before the change, still quite a ways, quite a few months before they updated their production and changed the shows. Championship Wrestling became Superstars and All-Star Wrestling became Wrestling Challenge. But maybe this is just Maple Leaf Wrestling since it's in Canada. That's what, when I first started watching wrestling for years and years, well into the 90s, the show, the WWF show that was shown on Saturday was known as Maple Leaf Wrestling, even though it was just the Superstars show. But being Canada and certain regulations, they had to keep the name Maple Leaf Wrestling. Or maybe they just were lazy and just never changed it. I don't know. But that's what it was for years. Maple Leaf Wrestling, even though it was no longer wrestling from Toronto or Ontario. Oh, SD coming out, a house of fire here. Savage tied up in the ropes. You can see the teenage boys at ringside glaring at Elizabeth. Nice. SD Jones. I wasn't paying attention to a lot of the early goings of this match. I don't think SD Jones has missed the SD Jones Memorial charge into the corner yet, but let's hope he does. That's another shout out to Peter Winson. Greetings from Allentown. Backslide. Too close to the ropes, though. So SD's trying. Man, those trunks are a definite holdover from 1976, though. TV test pattern. Very 70s looking. Elizabeth, some words of encouragement for a man. Not a ton of heat. Oh, here we go. Man, there's a lot of teenage boys at ringside. Just a bunch of punk kids causing trouble, I'm sure. Oh, here we go, quick. Savage for president sign in the crowd. Should be prime minister, we're in Canada. Here's a 3 count, yes. So, SD put up a bit of a fight, but in the end, not much. Quick win, another quick win for Randy Savage. Just mowing through the opponents here so far in his run here in the WWF. Quickly to the back. Yeah. Let's see the air he gets here. Pretty good. Straight down. Not a lot of distance, but that one height. And look, he's hooking the tights even. So he's protecting poor old SD Jones. Yeah, well, yeah. It's respect for a longtime veteran of the WWF territory. Okay, we're going to stop there. Next time we'll pick up with some matches in 1986, the beginning of 1986. Thanks for listening, and see you next time. I'm gonna